Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. I appreciate you tuning in this morning. I have a guest sitting across the way as we're going to talk about something surprising. I know that there's a reason for it, and he's explained it to me, but I'm going to let him explain it to everybody else because I'm not good at this kind of thing. Good morning, David Mills. How are you?
Well, good morning, Bruce, and good morning to Wayne County and beyond. Glad to be here.
David is the superintendent out at Jasper Grade School, and congratulations on a fine basketball season. I know they had a good year. Ended a little shorter than where they wanted to, but everybody's does, doesn't it?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. I told a lot of the players when they got back into school later in the week, I said, I'm going to give you about 48 hours to mourn the loss, and then we got to move forward. I said, that sun's going to come up tomorrow morning at about 6:27. You know, yeah. Life goes on, and it's going to be okay. They responded well.
I was going to say, they're 8th grade, 7th and 6th grade kids. They probably just put that behind them and move forward down the road, don't they?
You know, I've noticed that probably some of the more resilient people in the world are kindergarten through about 8th grade students. They can adjust pretty well.
Well, that's good. They had a lot of fun. Had a good year, that's for sure. We're going to talk about a few things out here today. We're going to talk about how test scores have fallen, and there's really kind of been an adjustment that has taken place to kind of cause that to happen. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about funding. A lot of folks are worried. I may as well talk about funding first before we start talking about test scores, if you don't mind.
Oh, that's fine.
A lot of folks, I get them as guests on my show every day, people who are worried about funding from the state. And those of us who are property owners, we're worried about funding from the state as well because we're throwing money at it and wonder if it's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
How are schools doing in the short run during this budget crisis?
Right now, things are going fairly well and as planned.
And you're speaking for Jasper only, of course.
Well,
you can kind of give me a general overview.
What right? I would look at is I think for school districts that are not in the middle of construction projects, and you know, and the example I would give would be over at Wayne City, over at Mount Vernon, you know, where they've got, you know, multi-million-dollar, you know, construction projects going, their road is a little bit more nefarious than ours is right now.
Probably a little bit more anxiety over there.
Exactly, because that money's not being released from the state on a regular basis. When you look at most school districts here in Wayne County and also in the WFIW, you know, listening area, what we are considered, we are called grant and aid districts.
Okay.
And basically what that means is the state, they've got a formula, a school funding formula.
Right.
That goes, okay, for an adequate education, not a great, an adequate, the minimum threshold, you know, this is the amount of money that has to be, you know, given towards a child's education. And that number is $6,119. And it's been that way, and this is what's frustrating for some of us in the education realm, it's been that way for 6 years.
They don't adjust that?
Well, they're supposed to adjust it, but because of the budget shortfalls and problems, they have not adjusted that number for 6 years. So what happens is you look at districts like ours, you look at the education fund, the amount of money we bring in through our property taxes, our equalized assessed value of property, and you divide that by the number of students you got.
Right.
Most of our districts, we can't raise $6,119. Right. So what right. the state does is they fill
the extra.
They fill the extra. But then what's also happened is these last 4 years, the state hasn't had the funds to fully fund the general state aid. So we've been prorated as low as only getting 88% to this year. We're getting about, I think it's 92-93%.
So now that's 88% of the extra, right? It's not 88% of the per kid total.
Well, what it is you are getting 88% of what you should be getting to that $6,119 per child.
Okay.
You know, it's that extra. It's that general state aid.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes it a little difficult to budget.
It's sometimes what we engage in is the swag theory.
Yeah.
And that's the scientific wild arsed guess.
Yeah.
I hate to put it out there and do that, but when you look at school funding and the way that it happens, you know, there's really two silos that we get. We get local property taxes that
right.
Come in and drive and do it, and our local courthouse has really done a good job of getting those payments out and done. I wish, we could do a little bit better of knowing what our equalized assessed value of property is for tax levy purposes. Because what happens is we have to file our tax levies in December.
Sure.
The year prior to you're going to collect it. A lot of times we don't know what's going to happen with the equalized assessed value of property. Is it going to stay flat? Is it going to go up? Is it going to go down? So we have to, apply some metrics to make for certain we're not losing it. Then on the other side is, and I think this gets into the bigger issue that you and I had talked about earlier, how does this, fiasco at the state up in Springfield with no budget, how does that play out, for local school districts here?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question. I mean, people don't know what's going to happen to when, and it makes it impossible to plan. And being impossible to plan, it's impossible to hire,
mm-hmm.
impossible to know if you're going to be able to rehire people. I can only imagine that the you as well as other administrators are having some impressive difficulties right now.
Well,
figuring stuff out.
One of the things that makes that kind of different, and I'll look at it really through two different lenses. Number one, when you look at just instructional planning, teachers and those kinds of things and what you're going to, provide for a normal
sure.
education.
Sure.
See, we're having to start to make decisions this month and next month on who we're going to rehire, to
sure.
come back and do things. And I still don't know what the fiscal year 2015 budget is.
Oh, wow.
And we still don't know what the FY, 2016
is going to be.
So it makes it difficult for us to kind of do that. The other thing that gets marched into it, and, this is another lens, is when you start looking at program improvement or, we want to do this with our facility when we, improve these kinds of things.
Yeah.
I don't know what funding is going to look like at, from the state grant-wise. I don't know, what kind of things are going to be available. It's just everything really with the budget, slowdown the way it is, it puts a lot of things in a very tense hibernation, if you will.
What are you hearing from other administrators? Because you're on several, mm-hmm. Professional educator boards, mm-hmm. right?
I work through the regional office of education
yeah.
here, and we've got our special ed co-op, and where my career started all the way up here in Pontiac, Illinois,
yeah.
and made its way down through. I still have some feelers out in the field. The big thing that a lot of us are getting concerned about is right now where you've got this patchwork of court decisions, that are funding, the state right now.
Sure.
You've got to provide these services and you got to do this. And then, different things that the legislature and the governor has brought on, we're going to fund and we're going to do these things. What happens is at the rate that they are financing government right now, what we keep hearing is that at some point, probably in March, the rate at which, they're funding government with the amount of revenue that's going to come in is going to fall into conflict, as in there's not going to be
enough revenue to fund the government.
Exactly. And what you look at is one of the priorities that Governor Rauner had, and I went and listened to the gentleman speak when he came to Fairfield.
Yeah.
did a very good job. Education was a priority. That's a big thing. We need to invest in it. That's our future.
Sure.
But what I look at is if education is one of the bigger pieces of the pie that's getting funded, and all of a sudden we get into that conflict piece to where, we don't have the revenue coming in, the only thing I'm going to step back from only. One of the things that I think they'll look at starting to pull back and cut back on at that point is it the rate at which we are funding education? And I can see some of our general state aid being further prorated at that point. And, all we have to do is look above to our higher ed peers. Look at the triage that's going on up at Eastern. I think they've announced another 80 people that they're going to release, and that's after 120 from the past year. Carbondale, they have the funding to finish the year. to get done. The SAU system does, and they've got the money to start again next year. But the thing is you're starting to eat into endowments. You're starting to having to move, you know, money around to do different things to keep cash flow going. And those things have a direct impact on those institutions. Again, are we going to expand? Are we going to replace professors as they retire and get out and do things? With that, you know, reduced footprint, can you provide the same level of services, you know, that you're going on? And it's just, it's frustrating because we've went through this year. And right now what we're getting out of Springfield is...
You're going to get it next year.
Exactly, because, and again, I'm not trying to throw legislators under the bus. I know that they have a Herculean task ahead trying to balance the budget and get these things taken care of. And there's really a political battle of wills going on what path are we going to take.
Sure.
Is it going to be cuts? Is it going to be additional
right.
revenue? But what I look at is, and this is, you know, again, from the field what we're getting, is... I don't think that there's really going to be any traction made on this year's current fiscal budget, and I don't think that they're going to touch next year's fiscal budget in earnest until after next November's election.
Wow.
And really what's going to happen is this upcoming November election, that is going to be the mandate, if you will, the mandate of the people on this is the direction we want to go. How many seats, you know, do the Democrats hold on to in the General Assembly? How many seats do the Republicans gain? Who's got control of that message coming back and forth? And I think that, you know, what's happened is the powers that be have drawn a line in the sand and you know, we're going to put it in the hands of the people. We're going to punt, if you will.
and wait more time.
Exactly.
I've got David Mills here. He's the superintendent out at Jasper. We're talking about all kinds of things. We're going to talk about test scores and all kinds of other things. Plus, I want you to think, Doc, I don't know if it's unprecedented if the position that the state of Illinois is putting schools in right now in the current funding formation is unprecedented, or maybe what are other states doing? We'll talk about that when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Back after these. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey, joined by the biggest Ohio State Buckeye fan that I know, David Mills, the superintendent out of Jasper Grade School.
Buckeye Nation, you can wrap it scarlet and gray. Touchdown, Ohio State!
Oh, gosh, I didn't need to hear that. I hear that's the thing, I hear that enough, Dave. whatever the Illini play.
Well, I have Illinois people frequently that remind me of 2007 with Juice Williams out
there. I was there.
Oh, my goodness.
It was great. It's one of the best days I've ever had at a football game.
Did I tell you what the teachers at Center Street did?
No, you were at Center Street back then?
Yeah, they broke into my office, and, man, they had orange and blue crepe paper. They had every touchdown picture loaded up on there, and had a big pitcher of juice out there on my desk.
Oh,
and,
see, oh, that's great.
They did. They did a good job with it.
Take
I was proud of
you. Took pictures of it and probably saved them forever.
Oh, huh? Yeah. I was very happy.
I'm joined by David Mills. He's the superintendent out of Jasper High School, or grade school, pardon me. And, Doc, I was asking you, is the situation that the schools and, I guess, the budget process in Illinois, is it – unprecedented? You've got a pretty good mind for history. That's pretty much unprecedented, isn't it?
It's unprecedented I would say several more at a state level. And the biggest thing I look at the 800-pound gorilla that nobody wants to really poke in the nose real hard is the unfunded pension liabilities in
right.
the state of Illinois. And what it does is you know, those payments, when not made on time, that unfunded pension liability gets bigger. And what it does is if you look at state government services, you know, like your dinner plate at Thanksgiving,
right?
You can only put so much on the plate. Well, what happens is that unfunded pension liability, it crowds out the other things that you want to get. And, you know,
it's affecting the amount of turkey I'm going to get.
It's going to affect the amount of turkey you get until the state gets in and gets that issue, you know, kind of under control, taken care of. And there's no real popular feel-good decision, you know, that's going to come out of that.
Right.
You know, that is going to be something I think lags behind. As far as looking at, you know, school funding, you know, on par with on where we're at, I'll give kind of a real quick synopsis. What this kind of reminds me a lot of in 2015 is what Illinois was going through there in the early to mid-80s when my family came out from Illinois.
Or from Ohio.
From Ohio. Illinois was going through a little bit of a recession. You and I were talking about, you know, $10, yeah, $20 oil there, yeah, in 84, 85. You know, I can remember a lot of school districts here that, you know, they had to go through quite a bit of, you know, reduction in forces, you know. The contracts they settled, you know, were not, you know, very envious or good. They were very much in a instead of a planning forward kind of budget,
contract and hold on.
Exactly. So, and we went through that. So what I look at is schools, you know, we have some pedigree that we've weathered storms. The thing that happened with Illinois budgets is when you get into the 90s, you know, when the economy took off, you know, so did funding with schools. And you know, when I first broke out as a superintendent, this is hard to believe, 10 years ago up at Clay City, you know, I'd been told by, you know, different people in the state, you know, you can always guarantee that the state will put $75 to $150 on that 6,119 figure. You know, you can always expect to get
count it for another year.
Exactly.
They'll bump it 5%, 3%, 2%, something
exactly
like that.
Exactly. Well, what ends up happening is the first year that I was out at Jasper, and that would have been, I think, 09. That would have been Blagojevich is coming into, you know, to the end of his kind of term. Out of the blue one year, I think he raised it $435. I mean, it was a bonanza for schools.
Sure.
You know, come in. But the thing is, looking back on that, and it's like I've told a couple of people, well, there was your $75 and $150
for the next
increases.
4 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now, you know, they did that and they weren't able to pay and do it. But, you know, that's what I look at. But as far as, you know, from a state perspective and looking at things, yeah, it is unprecedented. You know, I mean, you know, the stats are out there. You know, we've got one of the lowest rated, state budgets around.
Yeah.
our bond ratings are, you know, are just almost at, you know, at junk level.
Right.
And you know, there's
just above Puerto Rico.
Exactly.
Well, I tell you what, let's get on a happier subject. How about test scores? this is the reason I brought you in here. This is the reason we've talked in the recent past about how we don't usually report much on test scores out here, but I see them. Mm-hmm. In the paper from time to time, and you'll see every year you always see the local schools above, well above average, well, doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last year or two, they all of a sudden they're like hit the skids. What happened?
I'm going to use a metaphor.
We had some changing, didn't we?
We had some changing. When you and I were in high school, how many different classes of basketball were there?
Two.
There were two. You had the A and you had the double A.
That's
if
right.
I remember right. And now we have what?
Four.
It's like four, right? With our teams that are participating down at the Southern Illinois Junior High School Athletic Association Championships there at Wren Lake, is it all one class or is it?
There's three.
There's three. Okay. And if you win your division down there, does that make you state champ?
For that division.
Then,
yeah.
Then you've got the Northern Association.
Yeah, that's right. There. Yeah.
Okay. So you're probably wondering, where am I going?
Well, I got a pretty good idea.
And what am I doing? What has happened is, if you go back to about, you know, 2000, when President Bush was in office and No Child Left Behind came around, what got put into place was, you know, all states need to have a rigorous set of standards, and we want you to assess those standards.
Okay.
And you've got to make progress towards doing that. Well, Illinois adopted what they called the Illinois Learning Standards, and we were going to take what was called the ISAT test.
Okay? All right. The Illinois State Scholastic Achievement Test or something, I presume. Right?
You got it.
Okay.
Well, what happened is that test, when you take a look at it, that was Illinois' state learning standards, and it was a state-normed test, which meant it was the students versus the standards versus other students in Illinois. No other states, nobody. We were in our own little silo,
okay,
able to do that. But then we can further break that down a little bit, okay? You had the kindergarten, you had the third grade through eighth grade students that took the ISAT.
Yeah.
And then at the high school level, they took the Prairie State Achievement Exam, which was basically the ACT and the Word Keys.
Okay.
That's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
Okay.
And the reason for that is ISAT was student versus standards on a state-normed test. The ACT is not it's a nationally normed test.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we look at is you know, that decade of, you know, about 2000 up to 2010 when we would see, wow, the state scores for elementary schools are amazing, and these kids, the high schools
locally
are failing locally, you know, and then the scores would drop high school wise. People would think that there was some great kind of problem.
Kids are just losing focus in high school maybe or something.
And the change was ACT is that's based on college readiness.
National.
Yeah, and it's nationally norm reference. And when we look at something, you know, norm referenced, it's the bell curve.
Sure.
It's built to where some are going to exceed, some are in the middle, some are not going to make it. So we had dealt with that discrepancy for a while here in Illinois. What happened when we look at PARC and
What is PARC?
That is the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness of College and Careers.
Okay.
What happens with that is the big term that came out there in about 2010, Common Core, and
okay.
and there were very strong proponents of it. There were people that were against it.
Illinois adopted it.
This was a much more rigorous set of standards. They went into things a lot more in depth. What happens at that point is you've got these higher standards on the Common Core that are in place. But then what happens is that PARC test, it's no longer just state referenced,
really
normed. It's not nationally normed. PARC is a globally normed.
Really?
Exactly.
Okay.
So what happened, you remember, and if you remember right, you know, for years we've got this, I can't remember the name of it, but they will go through and they will rank, you know, the countries by this is how they perform in math and science and reading.
U.S. is usually around 30 or 40 or 50
exactly.
or something like that.
What the PARC standards is doing, what the PARC assessment is, it's a globally normed test. It's not just our students versus this new rigorous set of standards. It's where they would be in a global marketplace. And what happens with that is, and this is what's important to look at, you know, the reason that was done, you know, when we look at the jobs of the future, when we look at the things, you know, that are open and available out there, you know, that's why you see that push with science, technology, engineering, and math. These are things that people, you know, if they're going to be part of that global economy and do that, they've got to have the background and the acumen, you know, to go in and work and do that. But, you know, the example that I'll give, you know, here, and it's, you know, and it's even, you know, kind of on a personal level. My son goes, you know, Jasper School out there with me.
Sure.
You know, in 2013, when we took the ISAT based on the old Illinois Learning, you know, state standards, we had 94% of our kids meet or exceed in math. We had 89% of our kids, you know, meet or exceed in reading.
That's great.
So, you know what that means? 9 out of 10 kids on level. But
and,
you got
to
remember,
and you know who to work with to help get to the
exactly.
Yeah.
But the other thing to look at, that's our students in comparison to other students in Illinois.
That's correct.
Well, then in 14, when they knew they were getting ready, when the state knew we were getting ready to change the PARC, they changed the cut scores for what was exceeding, what was meeting, and all of a sudden, like I said, it's the same test. It's virtually the same test our kids take in 2014, but they changed the metrics so that we would get an idea of what it would look like whenever we were on the park. We went to where we had 68% of our kids meet or exceed in math,
wow,
and we had 50% of our kids meet or exceed in reading. So then you jump into last year, 2015, the first year that we take our park tests. And what's different between that and the old ISAT is also not just the higher standards and higher rigor. It's no longer a paper pencil test. It's
a
computer-based test.
Okay. Yeah.
So now
that's entirely different.
Exactly. So now you see all these different, you know, lenses we go through. And last year we went to where only 34% of our kids met or exceeded in math, and only 32% met or exceeded in reading. And what I look at is, and this is, you know, this is the thing that goes out, you know, with the parents. It's not a deal that, you know, all of a sudden Jasper stopped teaching the kids or we weren't, you know, we weren't doing things to innovate and do. The metrics by which they judged what meeting and exceeding were changed drastically because we went from a state, norm reference to a global norm reference. We went from a written test to a computer-based test.
You know, and that's a... People probably don't realize, well, other than your numbers there saying it, folks don't realize how big a deal it is for somebody to go from paper and pencil to a computer setup. That is a big, big deal.
It was a major...
Especially if in these smaller areas where kids may not be as used to working on the pads and things, right?
Well, and see, there's that piece, but then the other one that you have to get into and look at is not just getting the students used to that format, but look at the infrastructure required for a school. You know, we had to invest in
wiring and
Wi-Fi ports. We had to invest in computers. We had to upgrade, you know, our internet server.
And that doesn't happen overnight.
No, it does not. And that's, you know, the bell sounded for us really big in about 2010. That's when, you know, we knew, you know, this is the way the state was going to go, and we started moving pieces in that direction to get to it. You know, last year when they did the park testing, I did not like the format, and I let the state board, you know about it. We had to actually take two tests. We took one that was called a performance-based assessment, and that was at about 75% of the way through the school year, and it took 2 weeks to take that test. Then we turned around 4 weeks later, and we had to take another test. It was called the end-of-year assessment.
Oh, wait a second. It takes 2 weeks to take the test?
Well, by the time when you look at
You're able to get all the kids into
exactly. Because we're not a one-to-one school. Not every kid has a computer. We had to move those things around. Yeah. We had to use the computer lab. But to try and get that done, you know, uninterrupted. Yeah, I mean, we had to shut down the computer library for almost 2 weeks.
That kills any learning in there also.
Exactly. You know, that's just what we drill down and do. Now, this year, thankfully, the state is not having us take two sessions of the test. It'll be, you know, one test, and we should be able to get all of our testing done, you know, within 2 weeks. You know, the other thing that I wanted to kind of throw out there, you know, with regards to, you know, to the park, and this is really kind of, an important piece to look at is...
Hold on. Do that when you come back.
Okay.
All right. I got to take a short break. I've got Doc Mills here, David Mills. He's the superintendent out at Jasper, and he's very enlightening talking about how this testing has changed, and we'll be back with more information on that here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words. Good morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My name is Bruce Dickey, joined by David Mills. He's the superintendent out there at Jasper Grade School, and we've been talking about the state budget process as well as the test scoring and kind of explaining to folks how come test scoring have dropped so precipitously, mm-hmm. I guess, over the past few years. And you were about to tell me another reason.
When you go back and you look at the old Illinois State Learning Standards and, you know, the ISET test that we took, you know, again, it was that state, it was that student versus the state standards versus state norms. And what we were looking at was a student's general knowledge,
right,
of those standards. Okay. When you look at PIRC, the big change that has taken place is now we're putting in critical thinking, analysis and problem solving. These skills are much more in line with 21st century learning, and like you and I joked during the break, that's college readiness.
That's college readiness. That's college level.
So what happens is where you and I had talked about the budget, about how, you know, the plate gets crowded. Well, when we look at this change over to, you know, Common Core, we look at this change over to PARC, what's happened is, you know, the end goal is we want to make more kids college ready by the time they're in high school. Well,
yeah.
What that does is that crowds out some things that we need to do to get kids ready in high school. But then that also raises the bar of where a child needs to be in eighth grade.
Right.
And, you know, that pushes things back, you know, even further back, you know, into the curriculum. And, you know, the example, you know, that I'll give people, there was a very, very good piece that was in the New York Times there in January, and it talked about how the new normal is that, you know, kindergarten's the new first grade. It's no longer shapes and numbers, and it's, you know, we're introducing math, we're introducing writing, and what part of that is for,
well, that's
is
the thing.
Getting them ready to move forward.
That's the thing. It's 45 years ago, but I remember kindergarten was as a time of folks learned their letters,
mm-hmm.
and they don't do that anymore. Do they need to? I mean, our parents, I guess, do parents understand that the kids need to come into kindergarten at a certain level as opposed to where they may have used to? I guess that's what happens with people having preschools now, too.
Well, and see, and that's one of the big things that changed here in Illinois there in the 2000s, and it came out of the Blagojevich administration, which was, you know, there's going to be universal, you know, preschool in,
yeah,
Illinois. And that's what that was for, was, you know, let's get them 2 years to get, you know, to get socialized, let's get them 2 years to get, you know, the basic skills down and do that. And that was going to be kind of the platform ramp up moving forward. You know, the other example that I'll give to people, and again, I don't mean this in a condescending or a chiding kind of way. I'm being, you know, very heartfelt on this. You know, when you look at our fifth grade, you know, mathematics curriculum, you're starting to get a lot of algebra. You're starting to get,
yeah,
a lot of geometry that's in there. And I went to school with people, you know, 25 and 30 years ago. They didn't have to have algebra, they didn't have to have geometry to graduate. And these are good people with good jobs, you know, in our community, and they're doing good things. And it's very frustrating as a parent when your kid is coming in fifth grade and sixth grade, you know, with math, and you're not in a position to be able to, you know,
well, that's
to help at that level.
Because, and, yeah, they wouldn't have had, if you might have taken a different curriculum.
Exactly.
And for that matter, it might have been 40 years ago.
Exactly. And see, you know, the other
stuff to remember.
The other big thing that I look at, and this is one of the things that I think here in our part of Illinois that, you know, we kind of, I guess the term would be, we have a real hard time reconciling with is, you know, when we look at all this change and we look at all, you know, the direction that we're wanting to take education, and we want to be able to measure our kids on a global scale, and we want to be able to work with college and career readiness and do that, at some point you have to look at this with some business acumen and go,
sure,
okay, what's the return on the investment?
Right.
And then the other thing is if you look at that at a local level, what's the return on education for a child to go on and get a college education and do that? And, you know, that's that.
Well, that's the again, the huge question the parent has to answer and a child has to answer,
mm-hmm,
at the age of 17. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And would a college education actually assist me in doing that?
And, you know, and again, you know, when you look at our local economy, you know, in and around here, is there a premium placed on having a college education to work in the local economy through here, through most things?
Possibly not.
possibly not. And again, not being mean or anything like that, but when you look at where our roots are, agriculture, oil energy, production, light manufacturing, those kinds of things.
But then you look at nationally, and you look at the numbers. You look at the numbers at someone with a college degree over the course of a period of time, 30 years, 20 years, their lifetime, whatever, over a course of a period of time, how much more they typically make.
Exactly.
That's what folks are having to weigh against each other, aren't they?
It is, and one of the things I go back and when you look at that park change and the Common Core, and actually what Illinois did is what I call a bait and switch. They called it Common Core for a while, and then they got political pressure over it, and now it's the new Illinois learning standards.
Okay,
but it's Common Core is what it is. To me, the dialogue, what begins to happen, with us at this point is we can't just look at ourselves in the silo with that metaphor I was giving of, well, we are the Class S champion, or
right.
We are, the Class 2A, champion, going through and do this. We have to look at things on, on a bigger scale to get that done. Just to give you, a little bit of an eye moving forward, when this whole process started in about 2010, the Common Core State Standards, that was something that you had all the state superintendents of schools, were working on this. And the Common Core Standards is actually developed by educators here throughout the United, throughout the nation. These are the things, people needed to learn, along the way, grade level appropriate, leading towards a college education. Well, you've got 42 states that have adopted the Common Core. Illinois is one of those. Four states never adopted it. Three states withdrew, one of them being our sister to the east, Indiana, and then one state partially, has that done. So, over 5 years, you see where that's kind of come out, where this new test, the Partnership for Assessment Readiness of College and Careers, the PARC, is at. In 2010, 24 states were participating in this.
Yeah.
In 2014, it was down to 14. Last year was 9. This year is 6, and it looks like out of those 6, half of those are in jeopardy of not offering it moving forward. It looks like Maryland, New Jersey, and Illinois will probably be going another direction. So what happens is we go through all this change.
I'm going to say, so you're telling me that they've changed it and they're going to change it again eventually, possibly?
I think that, and I'll come out online and say it, the governor signaled during his State of the State address that, yes, assessment is important in Illinois, and, we want it to be rigorous and we want it to be there, but it doesn't necessarily have to be PARC. And the other thing that I look at is Pearson is the company that put the PARC together.
Uh-huh.
They also happen to be a textbook company.
Yeah.
You can kind of see where that
comes
from.
Yeah.
The link on that. What I look at is how do you validate your sample size of students on a globally normed reference test when you've only got 6 out of 50 states?
You can't. That's the thing. You can't do that.
So I think
it makes no sense.
I think more change is coming down.
That's just great.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be a new testing. There's always a new testing.
Mm-hmm. President Obama, he signaled whenever they redid the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. I can't remember exactly what the name of it was. One of the things that he looked at was, and he told people, the message is clear, too much testing, too much emphasis put on it. And he said, the federal government's going to back out of, mandated standards, and we're going to back out of, mandated testing. That's something that needs to be done at a state and local level. So that's what I look at moving forward, 2016 moving forward. I think Illinois is going to go through some changes on the assessment, and it will be, I think I can see us drifting a little bit back towards, it being at least a nationally referenced test at that point.
Just a different one from PARC.
It'll be different from PARC, yes.
All right. That's it.
Is everything clear as mud?
It's actually clear. It clarifies a lot of things. I mean, it sounds like that whoever was running the thing didn't really know what they were doing whenever they started. And that's the thing. It's not one person doing this, is it? It's a combination. It's committees.
It is. I had wrote a piece a while for an education journal, and I'll if it's okay, it won't take but just a second.
Go ahead.
Education reform flies on the wings of trust and flexibility. The crux with audacity, overreaching capability in
You're
education
not
reform,
whole thing, right?
No,
okay.
in initiatives rests with the public not understanding the benefits of the Common Core state standards and local school districts not being put in position to be successful on the park. 5-year plans that push the envelope of conventional wisdom with marginal support by stakeholders historically don't have a favorable outcome. Furthermore, not providing proper time or necessary resources for such bold endeavors only intensifies the fear and loathing of a good idea made into law.
Yeah, there you go.
And
you go. That's exactly right.
You know, that, to me, I think that, you know, they had the noblest of ideas, you know, that were there. But, you know, there's just certain things you don't want to watch being made into a law.
Oh, I bet that's right. Hey, before I let you go, and we're running a little bit short on time, tell folks why Jasper still runs a spelling bee. This is a great, this is a good thing.
In 2000, I think it was 13, the way the Scripps Howard spelling bee had worked is if you won your county spelling bee, you automatically went to the regional one, which is put on by the Evansville Courier and Press. And they changed it to where, no, if you were a school winner, you automatically went over. And the Regional Office of Education was the one that had coordinated all of these, you know, spelling bees here in our region. And they told us at the beginning of the year, said, look, you know, since it doesn't hold the stock of this person going on anymore, we're not going to host it and we're going to do it.
Right.
They were also in the middle of a budget, you know, crunch too. And, you know, there were some patron saints that kind of stepped forward for the Wayne County Spelling Bee. One of them was Kathy Land, out there, fifth grade teacher. She had coordinated ours at a local level and then had done it there at the county level. And then Dave Land out here at WFIW. And they said, well, why don't we have Jasper just coordinate and do this? And it'll be for basic bragging rights. So we started doing that, and it works out well.
And it's real good practice for the kids too, isn't it? That are going to, that are going on, because seven of those kids that were, or six of those kids that were at that meet the other night are going on to Evansville, presumably, right?
They would be eligible to go
They're
on.
Eligible
yes.
to go on. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. You're gonna have a battle royale between those two next year too.
I believe there will be one.
Dave, thanks very much for coming in today.
Bruce, always a pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Thanks for listening.